Let's pray to each prepare ourselves before we study God's Word. While I give you a moment of silence to pray, let me suggest you tell God you want to learn His truth and that you want to take on the perspective He wants you to have about life. God, we trust You. You are God and we are not. You know more than we do. And I thank You that You give us Your Word, that You give us perspective about this life. It can be difficult for us to change our minds, but I pray that You might help us by Your Spirit if this challenges us to think differently, and that we would truly be thankful that You give us these secrets, as it were. We praise You. We love You. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I've been thinking a lot over the past few months about how we tend to evaluate our lives, primarily based on our circumstances. And so we look at the circumstances of our lives, our jobs, our finances, our relationships, those sorts of things. And if the circumstances are rough or even bad, then many evaluate their life as bad. But that doesn't seem to be the perspective God wants us to have. It seems that we should be evaluating our status with God and our relationship with God. And if those things are good, then we should evaluate our life as good. And God will walk through those situations with us and help us to handle them. And we can follow Christ right in the middle of whatever the circumstance is, even if it's difficult. That's some of the perspective we should be helped to gain from our passage today. And for some of us, we need to apply that to our marital situation. Please open your Bible, if you haven't already, to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It seems that many of the Corinthian Christians were thinking that it would be more spiritual to be in a different life situation than what they were in. Maybe that they would be able to live out their Christianity better in a different life situation. And one of those life situations, it seems some thought they should change, was their marital situation. But Paul corrected them, teaching, if you are married to a Christian or a non-Christian, do not seek divorce. That was what the whole passage was about that we studied last time we were in 1 Corinthians. And these verses that we're studying today belong with that last passage. But we couldn't study all the verses that we're going to handle this time, all in last week with what we did the last time. But we should keep in mind as we study these verses today that it goes with what we studied last time, and it goes with the previous point. If you're married to a Christian or a non-Christian, do not seek divorce. And to that, Paul adds this whole next section to develop that point. Paul used circumcision and slavery to give perspective. This serves two purposes. It shows that Paul's general principle applies more broadly than just to marriage, but these other two life circumstances that he's going to talk about provide illustration to help us gain more perspective about staying married. Please look at chapter 7, verses 17 through 20 while I read. If not, just as the Lord has assigned to each, just as God has called each, in this manner he or she must walk. And in this manner I order in all the churches. Anyone called having been circumcised should not be uncircumcised. Anyone having been called should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But what matters is keeping of the commandments of God. Each should remain in that condition in which he was called. So going back to verse 16, I'm not going to preach verse 16, but verse 16 was about the potential for a Christian to influence their non-Christian spouse so that they might get saved. Starting in verse 17, he's basically saying, if that doesn't happen, the Christian is still to remain with the non-Christian. If that's how you became a Christian, remain that way. So if they married a non-Christian, they should stay that way and live following Christ. In whatever situation or condition God called or invited someone into Christ, the Christian should take that same situation as what the Lord assigned them to remain in. So listen, God calls us into Christ, not really out of our life situations. Now, a qualifier on that, if the very nature of the life situation is sinful, that's different. The life situations that Paul was addressing and saying stay in those weren't sinful. If it's a sinful situation by nature, we always move away from sin. But if the situation itself is not sinful, God is not calling us to change our circumstances. And remaining in that situation, we are to walk, which means to live and behave as a follower of Christ. So you don't have to change your situation to be spiritual, as some of the Corinthians thought. Rather, you can live as a Christian within whatever your situation is that you became a Christian. In the present context, that refers primarily to remaining married. But Paul gives another situation, circumcision status. And he taught that whatever your circumcision status, don't change it. Now, we aren't likely to do this, but we can still learn from this principles about not changing the situation that we're in. But keep in mind, for a Jew, being circumcised was a social thing. It was a relational thing. For Jews, circumcision showed that you were part of the religious group. And that is what Paul was addressing here, showing you belong to Christ and how that relates to your life circumstances. You can show that you belong to Christ by the way that you behave in whatever circumstances you're in. You don't have to change the circumstances to show that you're part. Through faith in Christ, we belong to God's people. We belong to God's church. It doesn't matter if someone started circumcised as a Jew or uncircumcised as a pagan. They're in. They are accepted into God's family, into God's church, because of faith in Christ. He says circumcision or uncircumcision means nothing for being part of God's people in Christ. It doesn't matter to God, so it shouldn't matter in our relationships with others. And therefore, someone didn't have to change their circumcision condition. Now, saying this, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. But what matters is keeping the commandments of God. That would have been a wild statement back in that day. The Jews, for them, the circumcision was both a status symbol, a way of showing that they were God's people, and for Jews, it was keeping a commandment of God. So to say, it doesn't matter circumcised or uncircumcised, keep the commandments of God, that would have been like a complete disconnect for them. Like, aren't those the same thing? And Paul's saying, no, they're not. Things have changed in Christ. So neither of those things was true any longer. Circumcision is nothing. And by saying that, it was not negating keeping all the commandments of God. People could be circumcised or uncircumcised and keep the commandments of God, which are expected of Christians. That is the larger point generally. You can stay in your current condition, marital situation specifically, and it doesn't affect your spirituality. Within your relational situation, you just keep the commandments of God. You follow Christ. That is what is spiritual, not changing your relational situation. Hence, the general principle that's stated in verse 20. Each should remain in that condition in which he or she was called. Whatever your relational situation, whatever your condition when you became a Christian, each should remain like that and follow Christ, keeping God's commandments. And that point continues with application made to another situation, slavery. Look at verses 21 to 24 while I read. Were you called while a slave? It should not concern you. But if you are able to become free, rather make use of that opportunity. For the one who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed person. Likewise, the one who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. You should not become slaves of humans. Brethren, each one should remain with God in that condition in which he or she was called. So the situation of circumcision addressed not needing to change your circumstances. This situation of slavery is about how we think while we're in our circumstances. So none of us really concerns ourselves with being a slave or being free, but what he says about this can still help the way that we think, because I think we could imagine the situation of slavery, okay? And what he's going to say to these people is pretty profound, and so it can help our perspective in the way that we think. Showing that this time, it's not just about the circumstances. Paul says even here, you might be able to change your circumstances in this case. You might be able to become free, and if you can, then do it. So now he's not talking about staying in your circumstances per se, but he's talking about whatever circumstance you're in, here's how to think about it. If someone were to be a slave and become a Christian, usually the Christian couldn't choose to change that situation. So it might bother them, thinking something like, I'm spiritually free, but I'm a slave. Those two things don't go together. That's not right. And Paul says to that, it should not concern you. That's a pretty wild statement to me when you're talking about being a slave and he says, don't let it concern you. This shows how he's trying to affect the way that we think. And I think the fact that he could say that about slavery makes a powerful point. If someone could remain in slavery and not concern themselves with it, how many other circumstances could we remain in and not concern ourselves if we had the right perspective? Verse 22, for the one who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed person. Likewise, the one who was called while free is Christ's slave. Even though outwardly, in one's life circumstances, they may remain a slave, in the Lord, they are free spiritually. That's the perspective he's giving. So not being free from slavery doesn't have to oppress them spiritually. They're free from sin and death. That's the important perspective to have. They can stay in their situation and have this perspective, and it changes everything. This particular truth is true for all of us. We are all free from sin and death, and we can rejoice in that. We can let that status flavor our thinking for the positive instead of letting negative circumstances in our life flavor our thinking for the negative. I think this is pretty helpful for pretty much any bummer situation in life, don't you think? My status with God is more important than my life circumstances. Remember the point that I made at the very beginning is that we need to move in our thinking from how we evaluate life, that we usually evaluate our life by our circumstances and determine whether it's a bummer or not, and we need to switch it to thinking about things like our status in Christ, evaluate ourselves by that and determine how we're going to feel about our life. Well, The other situation besides a slave might be a free person, and a free person might think themselves special. But even to them, Paul says, you are Christ's slave. So the free person shouldn't think themselves better than the slave. They are both slaves of Christ and both free from sin and death. And so their spiritual status is the same. And this is what he's trying to get us to think about. Instead of evaluating our life circumstances, I'm better and this person's worse and whatever, he says, think about the spiritual and you're the same. They're in different life situations, but they are related to Christ, the same. So in what really matters, the spiritual, they're even. And both can and should serve Christ in their respective situation. Remember, this is about the way we should think. Thus, our thinking should be something like, of course, you know, we'd remove the slave part, but it should be something like, I'm not less if I'm a slave. I'm not more if I'm free. Rather, I'm in Christ. That's what really matters. I am free from sin and death because of Christ. And I'm a slave to serving Christ in this life. I'm going to obey Him no matter what my life circumstances are. This is focusing on the spiritual aspect of life instead of our circumstances. And so if you're married and you really don't like your situation, but you stay married, you can focus mentally on the fact that you're being pleasing to God and let that make you happy. Or let's say you're single and you may not be happy about being single, but if you are being pure and you're being obedient to the Lord, you can focus on that and be happy about that. And then he says, you were bought with a price. Of course, that refers to Christ paying His life, paying His blood to pay for our sins, to set us free spiritually. But you were bought with a price seems to have a double implication here. One, it's the reason we are His slaves. He didn't just set us free from those things. He bought us to Himself. He owns us. And so we're to serve Him. And two, it's a reason to not willingly become a slave to another human if someone had the choice. That's like I said, we don't really relate on the slave aspect of this, but this is similar to marriage with a non-Christian, like we discussed last time. As a Christian, if you're not married, you shouldn't marry a non-Christian. But if you're already married to a non-Christian, you should remain with them as long as they're willing. And then we get the general principle stated again in verse 24, but with one extra detail this time that I think is an important detail. He says, brethren, each one should remain with God in the condition in which he was called. So whatever your relational situation, whatever your life condition when you became a Christian, each should remain like that. He adds that you are with God in that condition. This is super important. Your relationship with God is everything. That is to be our perspective that flavors how we look at life. So we think, because I'm with God, the other circumstances in my life aren't really the important thing. Even if I'm not happy with my life circumstances, they're not really the important thing. My relationship with God is everything. So, what is your situation? Does it have a bummer aspect to it? Process the following perspective. Some of the situations could change, but we are generally not to seek to change our relational situation. Rather, we should remain in that situation and follow Christ, obey God's commands, serve God, right in the middle of that situation, right in the middle of those circumstances. Our thinking is to focus on our relationship and our status with God. If we're good with Him and we're obeying Him, We should be happy about that instead of focusing on our life circumstances and being depressed about that. So let me be really clear, kind of pulling back a little bit from Paul's main point about just marriage and go back to where we started, just how we think about life. That I would encourage us that we should move from what is this normal pattern of how people evaluate life, where we primarily look at our circumstances. We're looking at our jobs and our financial situation, our relational circumstances, all those things, evaluating our life by that. If our circumstances are good, I'm good. If my circumstances are bad, I'm bad. Move away from that. That we should primarily be evaluating our lives based on our status with God and our relationship with God. And our status, just think about that. If you trust Jesus Christ, you have this amazing status with God. You're free from sin and death. You have a relationship with the God of the universe. That relationship is going to get you into His heaven where you'll have perfect relationship and perfect situation with Him forever. And there's so many more things that we have that are true of us just because we are in Christ. Our status in Christ is amazing. And so if we evaluate, which I believe that we're supposed to, on our status in Christ, we should always be able to look at our lives and go, I'm good. I'm really good. And then we might take that one step further. Besides just our status, there's this ongoing relationship to develop with God where we draw into relationship with Him. We're praying to Him and talking to Him. We're obeying Him in the things that we're doing in our life. If that's true of you, then you're good. If that's not true of you, I would encourage you to move that way. Because if you're evaluating and you're going, ah, my relationship isn't so good, then improve that thing. But if your status and your relationship with God is good, that you would look at life and be able to think, I'm good. And I'll deal with whatever situation I'm in through this perspective that I'm in right status in relationship with God. Let's pray together to apply what we learned today. Would you sit for a moment and just let the Spirit continue to speak using what you've heard from His Word? Is there a perspective that needs to change in you about how you look at your life, how you look at your circumstances? God, some of our circumstances are very difficult. Our marital situations sometimes are very difficult, far from ideal. But God, I trust that You can help us to walk through each of our circumstances. If we draw into You, we draw into our relationship with You, and You help us. God, I pray that You would help those that are walking through difficult circumstances, and You would help all of us to change our perspective. It can be super hard, this perspective change from evaluating our circumstances to evaluating our status and our relationship with You. But I pray that You'd help each of us to do it so that we can look at this life differently while we have to remain here waiting for You to come and give us that perfect life that we have in Christ. We thank You for what we do have in Christ. And so we pray in His name. All those who agreed said, Amen.